now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're here celebrating all the people, the places, the events, culture, history that make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona just so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
I didn't see you last night. Were you downtown Saturday night?
Second Saturday? No, I was not downtown Saturday night. Neither were you.
Yes, I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weren't you having dinner with us at the Mountain Ocean Club?
No, I totally blew you guys off.
Ah, that's why I didn't see you.
No, I went afterwards.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
No, because
it goes all
night long.
So you just made it towards the very end.
Yeah, but it's still fun. Dude, it's like good to the last drop.
Isn't that Folgers coffee?
And hanging out downtown. Well, this is the Fred and Jeff Show, and we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Ask you that you follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
You know what? Don't waste your time following us on Twitter, because Fred never tweets.
I tweeted again last week while we were on the air, telling people we're on the air. And then
what?
And then it was retweeted.
So what?
Mia from the...
Screening room?
Screening room retweeted us.
Really?
Yes.
How much later after we were on the air?
No, it was like almost instantaneously. I mean, I tweeted it, and she instantly retweeted.
All right, so really, if you're going to follow us on Twitter, it's really just going to be a, hey, guess what, we're on the air right now because you forgot, because it's 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Well, during the week, I could tweet stuff like, Jeff just took me to lunch.
Or who our guests are going to be this week. We could do all kinds of stuff on Twitter, Fred.
Oh, really?
It's up to you.
I could say, when I got out of bed.
Or you can send Fred an email at Fred at FredJeffGott.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Oh, yeah, that goes out every Thursday.
That's right, and that tells you who's going to be
so
on the show and all kinds of
fun
things.
I can tweet people when the newsletter's coming. Stand by, newsletter on the way. Is that how Twitter works?
That's how Fred... we're gonna start a new social networking thing called Twitter. No, called...
Twitty it?
Twitty it, that's it. Twitty it.
All right. So, that's actually sad. I helped you harass
Give
me.
Give you a hard time. See, it's awesome.
That is awesome. So, we always like reminding people at this point of the show about all the great stuff going on in Tucson.
That's right.
And Padres are still playing out at Keno Sports Complex.
Yes, they are.
And we're going to be actually talking to somebody in a few minutes about a special event out there this week.
Okay, Fred, I'll give you $100. If you could tell me who the San Diego Padres representative to the All-Star game was.
Keno Bambino.
You owe me $100.
All right, there's a Science Sundays down at Tucson Children's Museum.
Uh-huh.
And Twilight Third Thursdays at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, they have music, areas to cool down in the cool gardens on the third Thursday. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And something that I'm very excited about, they do this every year, is the Tucson International Children's Film Festival.
Tucson International Children's Film Festival.
Yeah, it's over at the Loft. It's from July 21st to the 29th. Every morning, I think it starts at 10. But this year's really cool because they're going to show Yellow Submarine, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'm going to go rent some kids and take them to go see the Yellow Submarine.
What's wrong with your kids?
They're too old. I mean, actually, yeah, they are kind of old.
You're never too old to enjoy the Yellow Submarine.
They're minors, though. They're under 18. I could sneak them in.
They could probably sneak you
They'll
in.
They'll sneak me in.
You got a couple of big boys over there.
So as we always like saying, there's tons of stuff going on in the community.
Absolutely.
If you go to fredandjeff.com and click on our events button, it'll take you to the Tucson Metropolitan Convention and Visitors Bureau site, and they have a beautiful calendar that has a list of stuff millions of years into the future.
Maybe 1 year into the future.
Maybe.
Months into the future.
Okay.
And hey, by the way, how was Willie Nelson last week?
The IRS tour was wonderful.
Lots of cool stuff happened at the Fox, too. So, folks, we have a big show for you today. Lots and lots of guests jam-packed.
Yeah, now, speaking of that, and the Padres, we have Dinah Rhodes, who is a member of the Tucson Parks Foundation, and they have a special event coming up this Wednesday. How are you doing, Dinah?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about... Well, first of all, tell us about the Parks Foundation.
Wait a minute. First of all, tell us about you. What do you do?
I work for the city of Tucson for City Councilwoman Regina Romero.
Okay.
And,
that must be a pleasure.
And I'm a park supporter. I love parks.
Good
I love
for you.
All of our City of Tucson parks. So I got involved with the Tucson Parks Foundation to help make a difference.
And are you?
Absolutely.
How are you guys making a difference?
We, the Tucson Parks Foundation started in 1983, and the number one goal is to raise money for our Tucson Parks and Recreation programs and facilities. Our number one campaign that we've started a couple years ago is our doing sunshade structures. Living in Tucson, Arizona, where we have so much skin cancer, we decided a good program for us to fundraise for is to get shade structures over all of our playground equipment.
Now, that makes a lot of sense.
It really does. And we're well on our way. We've funded three so far, and we do two every year, basically. So we have a couple more that we'll be funding this year. We just celebrated at Limberlost a couple months ago, and Golub Park was funded, and Archer Center was funded, and we're looking for a couple more. And we have one big event that we do every year that fundraises specifically for that, and that's a $1 million hole-in-one tournament that we hold in February. But this event, our special event coming up this Wednesday, is actually to raise money for KidCo. And I don't know if you guys know KidCo, but it's an after-school program.
Funny enough, we know all about KidCo because we know the guy that started KidCo.
Fantastic.
Do you know who that is, Fred?
That would be our pop.
I was going to give you $100. I was going to do double or nothing for you if you could name who started KidCo.
Well, thank you. Now we're even.
No, I didn't do it. Okay. So KidCo, tell us a little bit about KidCo.
KidCo is an after-school and summer program for kids aged 5 to 12. And it used to be free. It's no longer free with just the crisis at all across the country, our economic crisis. But it is a program for kids during the summer.
I'm sorry. If it's not free, how much does it cost?
It costs for the whole entire school year, it's $500. And then for the eight-week summer session, it's $250.
Okay. So now it's still not bad.
It's great for working families. I know so many, council members and others, everybody all across the city of Tucson. We have someone here in the room today who went to KidCo. So it's an incredible program.
My kids used the program back when they were little rugrats.
Now they're big rugrats.
Yes, they are.
So it's a great program.
It really is.
Lots and lots of Tucson kids are in there being safe, having fun during the summer, having fun all across the year.
Yes, absolutely.
And this fundraiser is to raise money for the program.
Yes, we have we got our everything paid for by wonderful donors. This year, it's Pyramid Federal Credit Union provided the tickets, and so pretty much every ticket we sell for $4, it's just $4. We're selling them at a discount. The Pyramid donation allowed every KidCo kid to get in for free.
Wow, that's
and
great.
And then every ticket we sell for $4 goes to the KidCo summer program.
How much money are you guys trying to raise?
Well, we're hoping to raise about $1,500. We did it last year, and we made about half of that. And so we're hoping to make $1,500 for the program this year. We're going to double it every year. This is only our second annual event, so we're hoping by, in 10 years, this thing is going to be huge. So watch out.
Now, wait a second. Fred, do the math. What's $1,500 divided by $4?
I can't do math like that.
Come on. $1,500 divided by 4?
3.
Okay. That's how many people you need to show up to be. Come on, Fred. Get the computer out.
Right, well, let's talk about the game. It's the Tucson Padres versus the Reno Aces.
That's right.
And where can people...
The dreaded Reno Aces ex Arizona Diamondbacks. We don't like them.
I know it.
So this is a grudge them. Game then.
It's a grudge game.
Turn it
sure.
into one.
So, and how do people get tickets?
You can go to our website at TucsonParks.org. And actually, we're even running a special. So if for groups that want to offer buy 20 tickets at the time, what we've been successful in doing is getting a lot of businesses to come in and say, hey, we're going to take our employees out for a night at the ballpark to support KidCo. And so if you buy 20 tickets, it's even cheaper. So go to the
cheaper
website
than
right
$4?
Now. I know it is crazy.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. You
so
can't afford not to go to this game.
You only need to sell 350 tickets to make $350, but you're giving the house away.
375 tickets to get the $1,500.
I stand corrected.
That's another $100.
You have to sell less than 400 tickets to make money.
Well, I hope that all of your listeners are going to buy a ticket right now.
We know all of our viewers will buy tickets. But let's hope all of our listeners will.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. So they go to TucsonParks.org.
.org.
Mm-hmm.
TucsonParksFoundation.org.
Or Tucson Parks. They both work.
Oh,
TucsonParks.org
really?
And TucsonParksFoundation.org. They both lead you directly to the website where you can purchase tickets.
Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And again, it's this coming Wednesday at the Keno Sports Facility.
And it's also $1 hot dog night.
Really?
Yeah.
So not only can I get into the ballpark for $4 and all $4 goes to the Kidco program, but then I can gorge on dollar hot dogs and cheap beer.
Yeah.
And it's better yet.
You can
even be a winner because we're going to do a split the pot raffle.
Oh, and 50-50 raffle?
Yeah, 50-50 raffle.
I love that.
So all the money you don't use for hot dogs and beer go to the raffle.
To maybe win more money for hot dogs and beer.
That's right.
I love it. All right. If you're not there, you're square. Come on.
All right.
So we hope to see everybody out at the Pods game. Tucson Padres versus those other guys. It's kind of like Harry Potter. We're no longer naming the Reno Aces. They're now that baseball team that will not be named.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
All right.
Great. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Anna. And also in the studio with us is Anita Kelman from the Beat Cancer Boot Camp. Anita, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So this is a great organization as well. Anita, tell us a little bit. Jeff always likes to say, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, who are you? What do you
who
do?
I thought you never asked. Thank you for asking. I started, let me tell you about the program. Beat Cancer Boot Camp is a physical support group for all cancer survivors, family, and friends. So basically, it's open to everybody because we all want to beat cancer one way or another, either prevent it or overcome it. So Beat Cancer Boot Camp's for everyone. I've been doing the program for about 8 years, and besides it being a physical support group, there's mentoring. There's buddies, which are people who are not cancer survivors. There's retreats, lunches, dinners, all kinds of ways for people to get connected. What I do to sustain the program is I have one fundraiser a year, and that's called the Boot Camp Challenge.
Wow. The Boot Camp Challenge. Wait a second. Is this something that you did last year?
I did in March, yeah.
Yes,
you did.
I swam through the mud, went over walls, carried fire hose.
Okay, but this is different from the...
The Tough Mudder, yeah.
You did a Warrior one, the Warrior Dash.
Warrior Dash, yeah.
But is this like the Warrior Dash?
Well, of course it's not like it, but no.
It's better than.
It's much better than the Warrior Dash.
Well, I'm not saying it's alike. I'm not trying to compare you as... You know, this only, you're only trying to beat cancer, for goodness sakes. I mean, what a trivial thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Warrior Boot Camp, which is just a bunch of drunks out there trying to run through walls.
Right. Well,
yours is important.
It does. It does serve a purpose. What I like to say, what sets this event apart from all others that are similar to that, is that we bring the whole community together. So each obstacle is designed and built by local military and law enforcement. So we have the Army, the Marines, we have Davis-Monthan, the police, the SWAT, Rural Metro. We bring everyone together, which is kind of amazing in Tucson to bring everyone together for a common cause. So it's fabulous.
Good for you. Is this your brainchild?
It is. About 5 years ago, I was trying to figure out a way to fundraise to sustain the program. And one of my board members and my friends, Bernard Legat, he's an Olympic runner, and I said, Bernard...
Wait. What's his name again?
Bernard Legat.
Is that Bernie that owes me $20?
No, I don't...
Fred?
No, it's Barnicky.
Oh, Barnicky, that's it, Barnicky.
He owes
Sorry,
me money.
That's Stripes. Oh. You had to see the movie.
I did. anyhow, I said, you know, Bernard, you're a runner. Could you help me do a run so I can raise some money? And he said, you know, why don't you do something more unique? Everyone does runs, and people are tired of it. Do something boot camp style. So I met with my board and other boot camp members, and we came up with this idea. And then basically the first year, which was 5 years ago, I cold called. I knocked on all the doors, every recruiting office I walked in. And first I said, all right, I know I'm a little old, but I'm not asking for you, you know, to recruit me. I'd like to recruit you to my event. And you know what? Not one person turned us down. We got everybody to participate.
That is outstanding. And by the way, you're not a little old.
Okay, thank
you. You're not a little old. You're the perfect vintage.
Aw.
All right?
Vintage?
Well, you know, just like a fine wine, right?
Thank you.
And good for you. This is a great program. Fred did it earlier this year, yeah. And he survived.
He survived, and he's going to do it again this year, which is March 16th. Well,
yeah, March 16th. But one of the reasons...
Of 2013.
2013.
Okay, so tell us why you're here so early.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here early because I just want to get the word out so people know about the program and the event. And there's, you know, volunteer opportunities if people want to get involved throughout the year. I'm always looking for some help.
And sponsors.
Sponsors.
We also wanted, you know, to celebrate the folks that sponsor this event, because it is a wonderful event. It's very, I got to tell you, I started a little bit late, and I finished, you know, towards the end. But there was this one lady who apparently had gone through the program, lost tons of weight.
She lost over 100 pounds, I believe.
Yeah, and we were all sitting there in tears through at the mud pit waiting for her to come through. And, I mean, this is a life-changing program in a lot of ways.
Yeah, thank you. I remember that vividly. I was there with her as I walked her across the finish line. It was very inspirational for me as well to see that her goal was to train all year to be able to do this event, and for her to accomplish it was amazing, as well as all the 750 other people who crossed the finish line. A lot of them are cancer survivors, some going through treatment, and some just out there to support the program and everyone else involved. So it was amazing.
Can you give us an idea of the ages? How old's the oldest? How young's the youngest?
Well, for the event, we have a minimum age of 12, and that's, you know, for insurance purposes, but there's no age limit. I have, you know, people 60s, 70s, you know, participating and doing the event.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Good for you.
Thank you.
So we just want to get people geared up for this, because it is a really, really great event.
Where can folks get more information?
They can visit the website, which is beatcancerbootcamp.com. And there's ways you can email directly if you have a specific question, or ways to volunteer or get in contact with me.
Give us an idea what kind of volunteers you're looking for.
Well, we're always looking for volunteers the day of the event to help set up. We're looking for volunteers prior to help us get the word out, putting posters and brochures out throughout the community.
What about the boot camp? Are you looking for help for the boot camp?
For the program itself?
Right.
We're always looking for people to be involved, and there's different ways you can help depending on... we also do educational events, so sometimes I'm looking for people to help, you know, specific events. But I'm always looking for people just to be involved and come to the boot camp to be a buddy to help someone who was going through treatment at that time. So you can be volunteer just by showing up and being part of the program.
So one of our listeners hears you today and is motivated to help in your boot camp, to help someone that's either going through active cancer treatment or someone who's a survivor who's trying to get back into shape, do they get a hold of you through the website to get involved?
Yeah, that would probably be the easiest way to do that. And that would be great help and to people going through the treatment, because we like to match people up and give them a buddy. And it's very important during the class time, because boot camp is obviously, it's an outdoor military style exercise program, but everyone can do what they can. So everyone's at different fitness levels. It doesn't matter. You don't have to get in shape to come. You come to get in shape. So it's nice to have a buddy to be with them, to kind of tell them, okay, you're getting a little overheated, sit down, hydrate, you know, do every other exercise, someone to kind of watch out for them. So during class, a buddy's, you know, plays a crucial role.
Great. All right. Phone number?
546-1601.
Cool. Diana and Anita, you are some of the folks that make Tucson a great place, and we appreciate you guys being here. We have a quick break to take, and we'll be right back with a coach.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because the trauma team at UMC delivers life-saving care.
Because the engineers at Solon make solar energy a reality.
While Davis-Monthan Air Force Base helps protect our freedoms.
Because researchers at Ventana Medical Systems lead the way in the nation's fight against cancer.
And because the Tucson Conquistadors raise millions of dollars to support kids' charities.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive.
burger.
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway in Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
It's never been easier to enjoy downtown, even during construction.
Downtown.
And with more than 15,000 parking spaces, it's a breeze to find a spot.
Downtown.
While you're downtown, you can enjoy everything from old-class cuisine to great casual dining. Have a night out on the town with the best nightlife around.
Shop at amazing stores with unique fashionable goods that you won't find anywhere else in town. Take in a show downtown.
Explore dozens of galleries.
Downtown.
And museums support your local
downtown.
Businesses see more at
downtowntucson.org. That's a better ad. People will love that. People will go, did you hear that dumb ad for downtown? Right, see if you can do something like that, because we'll run that and pay for it.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we'd like you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, and like us on Facebook.
Very good.
Now, in studio with us is one of our favorite guys in the whole wide world. Some say that he is the reason I ran for office. I think he might be the only one who says that. But
you said in the paper there, Fred.
But we have Coach Leo Gombieski. How are you doing, Coach?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Really good. Thanks for asking.
So people who don't have any history with either you or I don't realize that back in the day when we were at South Point, you were the government teacher out there, which was a required class for seniors to graduate, and I was one of your lowly students.
No, actually, we were quite perceptive for your age.
So we actually had a good time learning all about government at South Point.
Absolutely. And Coach G, you've got a golf tournament coming up. Can you tell us about that real quick?
Well, we have the 28th annual Leo Gombieski Celebrity Golf Classic. It's been around, obviously, a long, long time, and we're here to raise money for Augie's quest to cure ALS. I had a chance to meet Augie Nieto in person in last September in San Diego, and really the only part of his body that he can move is his eyelids, and I didn't even know that until after talking with him through his machine and talking to him. Of course, they can hear, and he's caged up in his body. That's what ALS does, and met his wife, Lynn, and I said, we got to get back involved with MDA, because the original Gombieski tournaments for years were for muscular dystrophy. And when I said goodbye to him and held his arm, he gave me a wink. And in my book, I call it the wink of a lifetime, because it was just incredible of that exchange, a simple exchange like that. And so now we've redefining the tournament a little bit. Like, obviously, it's probably the oldest continuing golf tournament in Tucson. You know, we haven't changed the names and stuff, and we've been getting Sergeant Slaughter's going to come in from WWE. Nice. That's a big MDA thing. In fact, Sarge was here.
Now, Leo, we've got a couple seconds left. We've got to take the hard break at the bottom. Will you stick around with us for the next half hour?
Unless you throw me out. Yeah.
All right, folks, stick around. We'll be back.
Over half
the country in drought, will you be paying more at the grocery store? Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says it's a little early to make that determination.
We're really not going to know the full extent of all of this until the cotton's picked and the beans and kernels are counted. But clearly, our yields are going to be down.
Vilsack appearing on State of the Union on CNN. 26 states are now receiving federal disaster relief because of the drought. Firefighters in Northern California are bracing for another day of heat and strong wind as they battle a wildfire near Colfax, California. Containment put at 20%. The fire is threatening about 170 homes. 11 firefighters have been injured battling the blaze, cause of which is under investigation. Consolidated Edison, the big electric power utility here in New York City, says it has reinstated health insurance for 8,500 workers locked out in a contract dispute. A spokesman says negotiations with the utility workers union will resume tomorrow. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
We'll see showers and thunderstorms possible yet again today as our temperatures a little bit cooler. Highs right into the middle 90s for the afternoon hours. About a 40% chance of thunderstorms that could last into tonight. Otherwise, we'll see partly cloudy conditions. Low temperatures into the upper 70s. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm KGUN meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. I figured since you can buy politicians so easily these days, why not rent an entire party? So I contacted Arizona Party Rental, and they said, that's not what we do. Well, guess what I found out? I found out they rent everything you need to throw a party. You know, I'm the kind of guy who likes getting married so often, it's good to know. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Now, every time I get married, I call on Arizona Party Rental. If you're like me and you say I do more often than Larry King, call on Arizona Party Rental. And unlike Uncle Sam, they understand what a tight budget means.
Thanks a lot, David. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Do what Fitzsimmons does. Draw your own conclusions. Visit Arizona Party Rental today on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're talking about all the great people, places, events, history and culture that make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona such a darn gosh wonderful thing.
That's right. And speaking of great people, we got one with us here on the show today.
Well, yes, we do. We have Coach Leo Golombieski, or hey, Mr. G, or Coach.
Yeah, it was. I remember at Sell Point, it was Mr. Golombieski, then it was Mr. G, and eventually it was, hey, G.
Hey, G. Yeah, but it was only hey, G, when you're getting cracked up the side of the head with a broom.
Well, you know? We always had the hockey stick in a corner.
That was always very nice.
Gosh, you know, I'll tell you, before we get into remembrances, let's finish about your golf tournament, Coach, because this golf tournament is an amazing thing. You've been doing this for 28 years. It's at the Arizona National, August 19th, and you're going to have all kinds of celebrities out there, like our friend Alan Kaith, who some may question his celebrity status, but we never
would. No, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Well, it wouldn't take anything, nothing. I'd just do it.
I heard his nickname is Surface Streets. Surface Streets Kaith, right?
Well, my wife, Paula, loves Alan Kaith, so... I got to not say anything negative about...
What are you saying? There's nothing negative to say about Alan.
That's right.
He's salt of the earth, that guy.
He is something else.
Salt of the earth. As a matter of fact, I still smell that aroma of chips because he was just in the studio a second ago. So,
yeah, so... It's like an In-N-Out burger and some fries. Is that what you're smelling?
I don't know what it is. It's this James T. Harris microphone here. It smells like coffee or something. I don't know what I'm doing here. So, yeah... Coach, tell us more about this golf tournament real quick, because you told us about your new book, or you mentioned your new book, and we want to talk about that too.
Well, the golf tournament, I was approached way back in 1985 by Muscular Dystrophy Association to have a culminating tournament, because at that time they ran tournaments throughout the winter and spring, and then they wanted, and they always had a golf tournament on Labor Day weekend, so they asked if I could use my name for it. And of course, you know, I looked. Well, we just walked in the door, but we started with that concept and did that for years and years. In fact, one of the highlights certainly of the tournament was when we had the Chicago Blackhawk alumni game here, where we raised a lot of money for muscular dystrophy, and the Ice Cats played the Blackhawk alumni, and I goalied half the game for the Blackhawk alumni, and. And about
how many goals did the Cats score?
Actually, we beat them. I think it was 10 to 6.
Good game. That's a lot of fun.
And it was a lot of fun. I came in and midway through the second period, and it was tied 3-3. And one of the vivid memories of that game was Stan Mikita, Hall of Famer from the Blackhawks, and I'm in the goal, the north goal at the Tucson Arena, and he comes up and says, "Hey, Coach, you want an assist?" And I go, "Sure." So he says, "I'm going to win the faceoff, and I'm going to give it to you, and then you hit me up on the boards, mid boards in defensive zone." So I won the faceoff, came to me, I shot it to him on the mid boards, and he went through every Ice Cat player and scored a goal. And he came all the way back to me and gave me the puck. There was your assist, and I still have it, and he signed it. But
is that the first assist you'd ever had?
No, I had a couple in college. Yeah, I had two in college.
Where'd you go to college?
Benedictine University. It was St. Procopius College back then. Now it's BU, and went there for 4 years, played for 4 years, and had two cups of coffee with the St. Louis Blues organization, and 7 years of coaching high school varsity in Chicago. Then we came out here to start the men's ice hockey team at the University of Arizona with American-born players.
Well, actually, you started something before that was more important to us.
Probably the Broomball League.
Yes. I tell people all the time about that Broomball League back at Iceland Bowl. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. So you've got to recreate that.
Well, we are working on a rink that this town needs desperately. And, you know, people say, I love some of the stuff that is pandered around. Well, we did so many years working for DARE. We did so many years working for Muscular Dystrophy, ran hockey schools, did everything in Tucson you could possibly do to keep hockey and ice going in Tucson. When Iceland closed in 1988, we made sure that ice stayed because Mr. Billy Joe Varney, who after 30 years is a vice president of U of A, I went to Mr. Varney, said, "We need practice. We don't have a rink anymore." And he allowed us to practice there, which allowed the kids to keep playing hockey. And then, of course, the same thing when that went to 95, and then they started a rink, and it closed again in 07.
Right.
And there was Coach G and his men's hockey team at the U of A supplying, again, ice for everyone. And yet, you know, people seem to forget about when you're here 32 years and you have a dream and a goal and a commitment that that's what sustains you in a town like this that was about 300,000 when I got here with Paula. And now it's, wow, there's a lot of people, huh, guys?
Oh, boy. It's awesome. And, you know, it's fun to meet folks that aren't native, like Fred and I. you know, transplants like you who make such a big difference in our community, because you bring that, you know, that whole concept of hockey to the desert. And there are, I can't tell you how many kids that I know and adults, Michael Guyman, your buddy Michael, plays hockey all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I lovingly call him the Civ. He plays goalie.
So
he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael does a good job. I talked to him last week, I think. But, you know, our goal is to get a rink to get things going in here to serve the I mean, it's not just hockey. Hockey's just a microcosm of what we want and need a rink for. We need a rink for public skating. We need a rink for figure skating lessons and hockey schools and hockey lessons and youth hockey and Absolutely. Men's league.
Hey, my
and broomball.
Oh, and broomball, most importantly. My son's oncologist is a big ice skater, and she's got to drive all the way to Phoenix twice a week to get her ice time in. So
it'd
be
sure.
nice to have an ice rink here so she could spend more time with the kids as opposed to on I-10.
Well, in the early days when we founded the Ice Cats and the men's hockey team there in 97, of course, 79. And in 79, of course, was our first year of affiliation with the U of A clubs and rec department, and we did a lot of work with them in the first four or five years to solidify club teams A and B, where the Ice Cats were full-time undergrad students, all the NCAA rules, except there was no money involved. You know, it was all money we raised through our nonprofit organization, which I was an employee of. So, like I say, it's been an interesting, and now Paul and I have been here starting our 34th year, and
wow.
This is home, you know, and it's, again, what is the, you might have gave this to me way back then as a little students. People say Tucson's maybe not as green as it should, and it's a desert, but what's the saying? If you live here long enough to wear a pair of moccasins, you'll never leave, and that's true.
So, Coach G, tell us about ice hockey in the desert. What was I thinking? The legacy of Leo Golombieski and the Ice Cats.
Now, this is a beautiful book, and we were thumbing through it a little bit. And there's a picture. There's pictures in here, which is good for me because I can't read. But
so all those people who voted you out of office were right.
Yeah, they're exactly right. Mm. So there's this picture that says Coach meets Paula, and I'm like, that's a gorgeous woman standing next to like really toad-looking guy.
Wow.
Well, you know what? It's smoke and mirrors. You know, I think she married me for my money and I married for her money and we both got faked out. But, you know, we came out here to start a program with American-born kids. We've had Canadians, kids from Czech Republic, Finland, Sweden play for us. But the concept was way back in the 70s, especially late 70s, hockey was dead in the water in the country. And we came out to Tucson because we fell in love with Tucson in the early 70s when my mom and dad came out here for health reasons. And the bottom line was that was the goal. And so many years later, a national championship and 8 Final Fours and 10 Elite Eights, the kids performed marvelously. And we graduated virtually 100% of our kids year in and year out. But the point is that the whole object of the program was an affiliation with the U of A, which we were during the whole 32 years as a club-sponsored sport at the U of A, and we didn't take money from them. I'd rather see the chess club get it or somebody else get it than we, because we did have the opportunity to go out, and I was hired by Ice Cat Hockey Incorporated to be its general manager and head coach. And I think we served the community and served the U of A very, very well during those 32 years.
Yeah, and ice hockey in the desert was just phenomenal. It was so exciting. And I think you got a little bump after the USA hockey team crushed.
They beat Russia.
They beat Russia.
Well,
that was a crush.
They beat Russia in the semifinal. I remember watching that game at Iceland Bowl and Ice Arena when that happened, and it didn't hurt American hockey, certainly, but you know, we always saw as a high school coach and even as a goaltender who had a chance to go to pro camp and rookie camp with the St. Louis Blues as an American from Chicago, which back in those days was unheard of. Not that we were any good, obviously taught by Glenn Hall, and of course the cover of the book is a picture of me in a desert holding holding Glenn Hall's, an actual Glenn Hall Lie 11, a goalie stick that he signed, in fact, the first day with the Blues at Pro Camp in Flint, Michigan. They opened up a stick room and said, here, take what you want. And I took six Lie 11 goalie sticks, and I still have four. And I give Glenn a hard time because he only has three. but the point is that he's in the book. Bobby Hull wrote the foreword. A buddy of mine that we've known for about 10 years now, Don Rickles, wrote the intro, and his intro is cute because he says, what the hell were you thinking? And but again, it came out here to start a team with American kids at a tremendous university, and we did it for 32 years.
When did you meet Scotty Bowman?
I met Scotty Bowman in New Brunswick back when I was 18.
So for our listeners who don't know, can you tell them who Scotty Bowman is?
Scotty Bowman is the winningest coach in the history of NHL pro hockey. And I met Scotty. He was 34. I was 18. And he's been here a few times, been to the house, took him all over. I know when he took him to Iceland and showed him Iceland back in 86, and he called me a little bit more than a magician. for what you could do with 117 by 70. A lot of people don't know the first 9 years of the Ice Cats where we practice on half a rink. It was great for broomball.
Yes, it was.
Now when you play broomball, you can play two broomball games at once because you play them side to side as opposed to 200 foot. And kept in close contact. In fact, Scotty was in Mr. Ice Cat, a 1997 movie that we had about, it was entitled Mr. Ice Cat. It was kind of cool. He was in there and a lot of people. And then, of course, you know, keeping in contact with him, using his style, his modus operandi, which changes a little bit as the kids have changed on through the years. But he's been a good friend all these years.
Well, in your book, you refer to him as your mentor or as a mentor. How did he mentor you?
Well, we went to the school back in the summer of between my sophomore and junior year in college, and that's when I met him. And he instructed and explained his philosophy and technique of coaching and everything of hockey, and was close to him ever since. You know, stayed close to him when it was with Montreal. He was here when he was with Detroit.
He shot
the stuff for the thing for Mr. Ice Cat in at Phoenix.
Now, Coach, tell us, what did he teach you? So you say, well, I learned his coaching style, his coaching technique. What was the philosophy behind his style, his technique that helped him become the most winningest coach in the NHL?
Well, it helped me win 600-plus games.
What was it, though? I mean, what was
that
secret?
Well, I think it was a style of play versus a disciplinarian. You know, you wanted excellence on the ice. Everybody on the ice has a job to do. If you don't do your job, a goal gets scored. We wanted the puck deep offensively, working the puck down deep, again, total motion and all that sort of thing down deep in the offense. We're using the points, but it was a team offense. It wasn't, you know, we had some great hockey players down through the years that could score goals and stuff, obviously, because a coach is a shadow of his players. And anybody who thinks Scotty did it with not good players in Montreal or Detroit or whatever, but you know, it's how you wanted them to be your extension on the ice.
And
this
is
the way you want it played.
And if you were talking to a kid today who wasn't playing hockey, could you use some of those lessons? How could you use some of those lessons to help that kid be the best person that kid could be?
Well, again, it's commitment, self-commitment. It's the willingness to sacrifice, have goals, have dreams, and a dream, the big dream, but keep your legs totally firm on the ground. Reach for the stars, but no, you know, people say, you know, well, Golombieski was a dreamer. Yes, we were, but people don't know how hard it was and how hard you worked. And if you want to be a good student, or you want to be good in law, or you want to be good whatever, you want to do in life, you have to work hard, be disciplined, and set goals for yourself and achieve those goals through the way you act.
And I think that's a lesson that a lot of kids today could take to heart, especially with how, you know, the economy is, you know, up and down. And there are a lot of kids out there that are looking for a vocation a lot of Tucson kids that are coming out of high school or coming out of college or don't know if they want to go to college and looking for a vocation. I think those are great words to share with them.
Well, we coached 18 years of baseball, too, back in Illinois. In fact, I coached baseball at Sal Point, and I was a pitching coach at Sabino a few years ago, and be running camps probably this winter with Paul Moscow.
Oh, wow.
Who's a good buddy. In fact, we'll get Moscow out here on your show because there's a legendary Tucson guy who, of course, obviously played in big leagues.
Absolutely.
With the Reds, unfortunately, also the Cubs. But
you say that because you're a White Sox guy.
Well, yeah, we're pretty happy. In fact, Jerry Reinsdorf is in our book, and we're pretty proud of that. And Sergeant Slaughter, a lot of people that, you know, we've known, you know, Jimmy Roberts, of course, NHL head coach and assistant coach, and he won 5 Stanley Cups, I think, as a player. And he has a blurb on the back of the book that the only thing Jimmy has held against me in all the years I've known him since I was about 19, was that I should have left Tucson and played coached professionally, which is a compliment from a guy like Jimmy. But the dream was more important, and being successful in Tucson and establishing Tucson as our home is more important.
Now, you have a chapter in your book called Life in Abraham Lincoln. Can you share a little bit about that chapter?
Well, born and raised in Illinois, the land of Lincoln, you know, I have been a government teacher and history major and such. I was a big fan of Lincoln. I got about 250 books on Lincoln, and have also a couple, you know, items that he had signed back years ago when you could afford to get them. But I, you know, just a guy out of nowhere. He certainly was more than born in a log cabin. He was self-taught. Less than a year of schooling because his dad didn't want him to go to school, but he read all the time and stuff, and became a pretty strong Chicago lawyer, railroad lawyer, and without him there probably wouldn't be the country we have today because he kept it together.
That's awesome. That's you know, when I picked up your book, you gave it to us a little while ago, so I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but what I have read in your book is so you. You know, you're a very non-BS kind of guy. It's a very matter of fact. If you want to, you know, you want it to happen, you're going to make it happen. So,
well,
that's a big lesson for folks today.
Well, I think you have to be honest, I think. You know, I mean, you try to do as best you can with what the ability you have. You know, it's a lot of people wanted me to write this book for years. And we finally got it done, and it's selling well on Amazon and other places. If you want to buy it from us, it's $19.95 plus shipping. It's P.O. Box 18402 and, of course, 85731 if people want to buy the book. But we're also working on a second book, which we're going to be starting to write probably next month, because the co-author of that book is going to be Steve Ashburner, who just finished a book on Harmon Killebrew.
Wow.
And he actually interviewed me when he was a high school newspaper reporter when I was a high school coach.
No kidding.
And it's the Ice Cat Chronicles, Americans Can Play This Game. And it's going to be a totally different book in the context of we're going to back and interviewing from the high school days and in a little bit, not too much, but that's 7 years. What led one to come out to start a team with American kids and then interview Ice Cat players from all the different 32 years era, which should maybe it'd be a slap shot type situation sometime.
Now, in your opinion, knowing that a lot of the NHL rosters are just chock full of Europeans and Canadians, how is hockey doing in America? United States.
Well, I mean, you know, I remember when we started the Ice Cats, there'll be a couple of stories in there about Badger Bob Johnson and stuff about, you know, how the American player wasn't given a real good shot at playing NCAA Division I because they were from America. And you find that if you don't think that holds water, I think it's a situation now where there's more Eastern Europeans in a National Hockey League than there are Americans.
Right.
Let alone, you know, of course, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Canadian players are awesome because there were rinks on every corner. They had great coaches, and, you know, it was hockey, hockey, hockey. But in the conversations I have, I talked to Bobby Hall on the cell phone about 6-8 weeks ago, or Glenn Hall, and you know, the name dropping people that you have their cell phones and give them a call.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we've always been accused of that by the media. You know, but the point of the matter is that you know I've surrounded, been blessed by surrounding myself since I was 18, growing up in the golden age of hockey at the old Chicago Stadium, and now having had a chance to play with them in alumni games and they're friends of mine. And Bobby, of course, wrote the foreword to the book. Don Rickles, the intro.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of people weigh in on, the straight shooting, Leo Golombieski.
Well, folks, the name of the book is Ice Hockey in the Desert. What was I thinking? It's available on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And we'll put a link up on our website if you want to buy it here locally from Coach G.
Absolutely. Before we take our break, we've been very remiss today, my dear brother. Happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dad. Happy birthday. That's right.
And I'll tell you, I've known your dad and mom for 32 years, and great people, and happy birthday.
Thanks, Coach. All right, folks, we got to take one quick break. We'll be back to wrap up the show, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, 5starTermite.com.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson. And, folks, we've lost a great Tucsonan, Bill Valenzuela and Mr. Valenzuela. We're going to miss you. And we just have this little tribute to a great man who made a huge impact in our community. We'll see you next week, folks, here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Adios, muchachos, compañeros de mi vida, barra querida de aquellos tiempos.